Oh, hey, and welcome to another edition of the Native Broadcast Network. It is the Wednesday edition. We hope you're having a great and wonderful Wednesday, and we are going to get rolling on today's episode. But before we go on, as you may know or may not know, the Native Broadcast Network, we've been on the air for about a year now, and we've done a variety of different topics ranging from guest interviews to topics on the Powwow Trail. And you know what? As we continue to build on the network, we're going to gain momentum now, and we're going to start adding a few more things. Like today, we added a new show, a new topic. We're going to start delving into the realms of politics. But as we get through the work week, we're going to go, and Fridays, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to go on the Powwow Trail. Why? Because we want to level out a hard work week that all of us go through. And we want to do more entertaining news toward the weekend, because that's what we're all looking forward to, is the weekend. So let's get on with our program. What's going on in the world today? Holy moly! You know, it's time to get on some topics, which basically, you know, as a student, I study marketing, I study consumer behavior, I study human behavior. I go out and I like to do my own little surveys and talk to people on the streets and talk about different subjects and interest things that interest them. I've noticed as I've done some of my research, there's this glaring thing that keeps me coming back to the Native Broadcast Network station. It's basically learning that people love to discuss topics pertaining to certain issues in Native American country today. That means here in Native country throughout the North, from the Northwest to the East Coast to the Southwest. All these tribes have all kind of topics to discuss and different things going on in their areas. And you know what? There's a lot of people who are interested in those topics, but they're just trying to find a way to get it out to reach to other people. Well, after learning on these topics and learning about these different issues that are really, we're trying to pick out the ones that are sticking out the most. But we don't want to be too biased on the information. We want to give the information and make it relevant. So we're not taking just one side of the story, because we know there's always more than one side of the story. And that's what we're going to do on today's show. Here on this network, we're going to try to stay away from being biased. And after doing a few of our surveys and doing a few things of Googling a lot of the information that we can find, we can understand that there's a lot of things going on in our Native communities, and a lot of our communities want their information to be brought out, but it's kind of fractured in how we're bringing this information out, because we're talking about topics that maybe some of us all can't really relate to, because our tribes are, well, let's say fractured, because I think that's the good choice. They're fractured on how we do things in life. You know, as we look on the internet and the Facebook and the social media networks that bring out topics today, yeah, there's a lot of people who are taking the internet airwaves, wanting to gain listeners with their programs. Yet there's something that I've learned, and really am taking time to study and learn about why some of these people aren't gaining their audience. Like me, I don't have a great audience. Well, maybe I do, maybe I don't, but sometimes the reason is missing the opportunities and chances to give the information that people are looking for in a timely way. And that does happen. It does happen in ways like that. And basically we want to try to make this relevant and get information to you in a timely way on the Native Broadcast Network. And how are we going to do that today and get it to in a timely manner? And how does this information we're talking about going to relate to today? Well, let's talk about what we're going to discuss. A topic that's important not to just one tribe. And matter of fact, I did a survey, and there's quite a few that brought out that they didn't know that there were a lot of tribes in just North America alone. But we'll go into that here in a little bit. We're going to talk about this subject. It's relevant to not only Native American communities, but to the non-Native community. It's to help understand a little more on what the reality is for tribes today here as we're living in the 21st century. So what's our topic for today? Well, like I said, today on the Wednesday edition of the Native Broadcast Network, we're going to delve into the world of kind of politics, tribal politics a little bit, but we're going to start nice and slow. We're not going to jump right into this and just start eating the buffalo right off the bat. We're going to take it slow. We're going to gain a little momentum on the topics, and we're going to have our guest on today who's not only going to give us some great information on the subject, but he's also a student, a graduate of the great Haskell Indian Nations University. He's from the Pyramid Lake Paiute Tribe, which is in Nevada, and he's got some great information that he's going to share, not only on things that he's learned about what tribal sovereignty is, but we're going to also discuss today a little bit of what sovereignty is and how it affects us on our tribes today. So, again, our topic is going to be an opinion base. The information, like I say, is some of the information you can go to your basic Google website. You can look up the information of sovereignty, and that's where we're going to start. We're going to start with sovereignty. Why? Because sovereignty is an important thing. And before we invite our guest on, the bear, and before he gives us a little bit of information of what he's got going on in his life and the Paiute tribe, let's define what the word sovereignty, you know, many of us probably want to know, what does sovereignty mean? What does that word mean? Anybody out there understand or know what that word is? Email us, someguytalkingstuff@yahoo.com. Give us the best definition of sovereignty. But from what we've learned and from what we've seen on different websites, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary to the Free Dictionary, as well as other different websites, sovereignty has a pretty unique and basic definition. If I can bring that up here on my computer, that would be great. But we're going to find it on a different screen. So when we do that, let's find another different browser here on sovereignty. So before we get into the like, before we define sovereignty, let's just go ahead and get Bear back. Bear, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. I'm just trying to clean up my house and everything because I got a baby coming in any day, and trying to just stay involved in our tribal politics and make sure that our sovereignty doesn't get chipped away slowly as it has over the years.
And that's important. So, Bear, let me ask you, what does sovereignty mean? What is that? How do you define that word?
The way I define it is pretty much you're able to govern yourself as you want to and do whatever you want pretty much as long as it doesn't, you know, do harm onto somebody else. You know, if you're having too much fun, you might, you know, could do something, you know, like drinking and driving or something like that and, you know, maybe hurt somebody. But for the most part, sovereignty means that you can, you know, govern yourself as you want to. And what it says on the, I like to use Wikipedia. A lot of people don't like Wikipedia because they say anybody can write stuff on there. But what I do like about it is you can hit the links and go to other places where they got the information. That way it's just not some Yahoo on here just saying whatever he wants to and then like giving you disinformation.
Like me.
So that's what I'm going to read right now is off of Wikipedia. So
okay, I finally got mine. So you read yours, and then I'll read this one.
Okay. Sovereignty is understood in jurisprudence as the full right and power of a governing body to govern itself without any interference from outside sources or body. In political theory, sovereignty is a substantive term designating supreme authority over some polity. It is a basic principle underlying the dominant Westphalian model of state foundation. Derived from Latin through French, sovereignty, its attainment and retention in both Chinese and Western culture has traditionally been associated with certain moral imperatives upon any claimant. That's it.
Okay. And so what we got here, which is the Merriam-Webster dictionary version, which says unlimited power over a country or a country's independent authority and right to govern itself, or basically a freedom from other control. So with that definition in mind, how does that relate to Native American. Because an article that I've read, this is also from Wikipedia, you can Google it, it's on the Free Dictionary, it defines it as, the United States persons of Native American descent occupy a unique legal position. On the one hand, they are U.S. citizens and are entitled to the same legal rights and protections under the Constitution that all other U.S. citizens enjoy. Here's the kicker. On the other hand, they are members of self-governing tribes whose existence far predates the arrival of Europeans on American shores. They are descendants of peoples who had their own inherent rights, rights that require no validation or legitimation from the newcomers who found their way onto the soil. So what do you think of that definition?
Yeah, that's spot on, I guess. It kind of shows how it kind of divides our, you know, our tribal governments right there, because I always hear, you know, our council saying, oh, we live in two worlds. And, well, that's stupid, you know, like, we live in one world, but it's a foreign infrastructure putting over us, and that divides us, you know, in Indian country, and that's why we can't attain true sovereignty, because we rely on, you know, government grants to even just run our tribal council or our clinics, our schools. I mean, that's not free money that's out in the world. You know, they probably want something from us. But that's how it infringes on our sovereignty.
And that's one of the things that I put up on the website or on the Facebook earlier about a quote. I don't know if you've seen that quote from the Eastern Band tribal Cherokee leader at one time about what she said tribal governments were. Remember that quote, or remember seeing that quote I put up? I got to open it up real quick.
No, I don't remember.
Here, I will, as soon as I get that app opened up, I will read it real quick, and then we'll get your insight on that topic, on what she says about sovereignty, tribal sovereignty, basically. It's pretty interesting. So let me get this open on Facebook here real quick, and then we'll get into the topic of what we're talking about. So here it is. It's former principal chief of the Eastern Band of the Cherokee Nation, Joyce Duggan, says, many people still have a hard time understanding sovereignty. What does the sovereignty of Indian nations mean? I have a hard time with it too, because we're not sovereign in this nation. If we were sovereign in this nation, we would not have to depend on federal government dollars. We would not have to go to the state for gaming approval. We would be able to live independently in our own nation, which is what we're doing in 1838 at the time of removal. And she must be talking about the Cherokee's Trail of Tear removal.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
So what do you think about that quote?
Well, I think that's a pure definition of sovereignty right there. You know, but
and what
I,
do you,
I think that,
it, go
I
ahead,
think that
sorry.
It's kind of, I mean, I think it's, I don't like to be, you know, pessimistic in anyway, but I think it's unrealistic to live, you know, like that without any other outside influence. You know, there's always going to be outside influence. That's what keeps tradition going. I mean, not tradition, but culture going, you know, it's constantly evolving. But how are you going to, like, just live in a, you know, a utopia, you know, like that, just by yourself and, you know, no outside influence? I mean, that's just what I get out of it.
Yeah. And one of those things, especially from that quote that we read, you know, as I was putting some stuff on the website or on my Facebook timeline, I brought out that one of the articles brought out that long before that the United States was here, tribes governed themselves. They provided for their people and negotiated treaties with other nations like England, France, and Spain. So when tribes sign treaties with the U.S., they are guaranteed their right to continue governing themselves. This means that their sovereign rights are retained, not granted. What do you think about that?
I think that's false right there. Now, once you say treaties, treaties, they don't give you rights. They take them away and leave you with certain inherent rights. So slowly you find your sovereignty is being eroded. You know, a treaty is, you know, should we look up treaties too? I mean,
we probably have to.
But yeah, that's false right there, you know, because, you know,
why is that?
I'm trying to find it on here, but, okay. I think I lost my train of thought. I was going somewhere with this. Oh, treaties. Oh yeah. And then, you know, the United States turns around and says the treaties are the supreme law of the land, which they are, you know, the United States, you know, they, for the most part, you know, they've started recognizing treaties, but I think before, I'm pretty sure just about every treaty was broken. Am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah, just about every treaty was broken. So it's like, you know, if they're not going to honor those treaties, then they're going to just do whatever they want and, you know, and keep taking our sovereign, you know, our sovereign authority. And it's like because we don't even own the land that we live on. You know, even though we've lived here for, you know, tens of thousands of years before the United States was even thought of, you know, conceived. And, you know, it was conceived, you know, through, you know, Benjamin Franklin, seeing how the natives took care of one another over here. You know, one hand washing the other. You know, if a bigger tribe, you know, gets stronger and everything like that, has more food, and the other one, you know, has a bad, you know, bad year, they help each other, you know, rather than just saying, oh, you guys stay out there and starve. But that was what the United States Constitution was, you know, founded after.
Yeah.
Was Indians, the way that we took care of each other.
What is it called? The Constitution of the Seven Iroquois Nations? The Great Law of Peace, basically, is what the U.S. Constitution is modeled after?
Yeah. The Iroquois Confederation? Or League of Iroquois?
So did you study? You remember studying that tribal classes at Haskell, right? These are some of the things that they brought up, because the meaning of our topic, sovereignty, what does that mean to Native Americans? Now, I know we don't speak for all Native Americans, but we do all want to need to, or really, I should say, we all need to come to figure out how this topic really affects us, especially today in the 21st century. So how do we define sovereignty as tribe? You know, let's take the example of your tribe, the Pyramid Lake Paiute tribe. How do they define tribal sovereignty for their people?
I think the way that they describe it is, I can just do whatever I want, you know, and, you know, I'm not sure, actually. I haven't really asked too many people. I've asked, you know, like people like my partner, Shawnee Sander, you know, in a group of us, but I think the people that I have been asking is like our council. You know, I say, do you guys even know what sovereignty is? And then, you know, they give that stoic Indian look, like, yeah, they do, but I'm not going to acknowledge, or yeah, I don't, but I'm not going to not acknowledge that I don't. You know, I found that that happens in all most tribal councils. I'm not going to, you know, stereotype everybody and model it after, you know, what I go through here with my council. But I don't think they know. I think they think that it means they can do whatever they want, and that's it. You know, and if they're gonna harm, you know, your way of life, that doesn't matter because they have that sovereign immunity. It's almost like So that's what they think it is, because that's the way they treat us here. But I don't want to understand the sovereignty topic. You know, I don't want to. You know.
Yeah, that will go into a different subject at a different time. But we want to say, you know, among the sovereignty issue, because that, I think, is a confusing topic for people. Unless you're religious, you know, religious people understand what sovereign lord means. But what does sovereign tribe mean? Would you able to be answer that question?
Sovereign tribal sovereignty.
Yeah.
That just popped up that says refers to tribes. Well, me, just mine.
Yeah, just your own view.
What I think. I mean, for, okay, I would say for, you know, this particular tribe right here, I would say that, you know, other than kind of relying on the, you know, the Truckee River, you know, to always flow like how it should flow to keep the water levels high, we'd have to rely on, you know, the Reno metropolitan area to stop the, you know, the construction and things like that. So, but other than that, I think that this tribe could be pretty self-sustainable because there's everything that you need here. There's water, you know, from the river and lake, and, you know, we have trees and, you know, places, we have lots of land, and we can, you know, plant and do everything, you know, so we would be able to be, you know, sovereign, you know, without any outside influence. But there's that outside influence, which is the river. You know, we need that river to stay clean and you know, up to par with our standards, our water quality standards. So
yeah,
we still wouldn't be, you know, totally sovereign. We'd always have to rely on something, some outside influence. Because yeah, we do have the lake and we do have lots of other natural resources, game and everything, but we always rely on that river, you know?
Yeah. So let's take a different view. I appreciate your definition of tribal sovereignty. Now let me read this definition from that same page that I have, and it talks about tribal sovereignty. Again, this is on the legaldictionary.com, and you can look up tribal sovereignty. And here's what it says. It says, tribal sovereignty refers to the fact that each tribe has the inherent right to govern itself. Before Europeans came to North America, Native American tribes conducted their own affairs and needed no outside source to legitimate their powers or actions. When the various European powers did arrive, however, they claimed dominion over the lands that they found, thus violating the sovereignty of the tribes who were already there. So it seems like we're at a, we hit a wall on sovereignty, because I guess the doctrine of discovery, kind of took over our tribal sovereignty rights, right?
Yeah. They were drafted in 1491, which is ironic because, you know, didn't 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue or something like that?
Supposedly.
You know, I always remember that kind of stuff because I went to a school off the reservation, and everything that we were saying, you know, like our history and everything like that, it was like programmed into like little songs and everything like that. But anyway, I don't know. So the doctrine of discovery basically says that any Christian nation that discovers a non-Christian nation, meaning Indians, has dominion over them. You know, so they're able to be the first ones to negotiate with. We can't negotiate with any other tribe. I mean, any other you know, nation. You know, we can't go negotiate with Japan, you know, because we're considered a domestic dependent nation, and we have to go through the federal government, them permission if we can do business with them, which infringes on our sovereignty also.
Yeah, and one thing I'm going to read to you about this, and it's pretty interesting, it goes into the point you're making. It says, the issue of the extent and limits of tribal sovereignty came before the U.S. Supreme Court in Johnson versus McIntosh, 21 U.S. 8W 543-5L, edition 681, 1823. It writing for Chief Justice John Marshall describes the effects of European incursion on Native tribes, writing that although the Indians were admitted to be the rightful occupants of the soil, their rights to complete sovereignty as independent nations were necessarily diminished, and their power to dispose of the soil at their own will to whomsoever they pleased was denied by the original fundamental principle that discovery gave exclusive title to those who made it. So the European nations that had discovered North America, Marshall ruled, had the sole right of acquiring the soil from the natives. What do you think of that court case?
Sounds like bad news for Native Americans. Sounds like they lost some rights there.
It did, and that's U.S. Judge Marshall. He had a few things, or a few cases, like in Cherokee Nation versus Georgia in 1831, Worcester versus Georgia, 1832.
They call that the Marshall Trilogy because it really infringed on a lot of our rights. Right.
Yeah.
In those three cases, it's like bam, bam, bam. They hit us with all. It's almost, you know, if you think about it, it's almost like it was planned. You know, it's like we need more control of these Indians. You know, they're not using the land the way God intended. You know, we should be out there, you know, having one person, farm like, you know, like 3,000 acre field and not leave any room for anybody else to live in. You know, that was the way that I think that they were thinking, you know.
Yeah.
They're supposed to have dominion over the earth, whereas Native Americans, we have a relationship with it.
And that's the problem with what we figure out about sovereignty and how we're confused about it, because, again, as we're reading the definitions and the things that we've defined as sovereignty, to exercise supreme permanent authority, basically a nation can govern themselves around its own territories and borders. That's truly not the case, though. Would you agree?
Yeah, we're in a lot of our gatherings and ceremonies, weren't they? They were barred from the U.S., weren't they, at one time?
I believe so. I know a lot of our traditional dances from our people, and, you know, go to different tribes that used to have traditional dances. They don't have no more. So those are the things we face, the reality.
Yeah, well, I think our biggest enemy is ourselves, because we're battling each other now, you know, because a lot of us are assimilated. We wouldn't be having this conversation, you know, if we were true sovereign nations, if we were talking in, you know, Kiowa or Paiute or, you know, Numa or Washoe or whatever, you know, because we would be having our own classes, teaching our own language, teaching our own history and everything, rather than going through this cookie cutter, you know, this cookie cutter history that I kind of described earlier.
Yeah. And that's the thing about how we are as people. I think the key is education, sovereignty, learning about these things, because you yourself have ambitions to be a leader. You want to take your tribe to another level of greatness, like the past of being a free people, correct?
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to be in council or anything like that. For me, I kind of want to just be like an entrepreneur, you know, puts in my two cents of, you know, whatever I think, you know, might influence the tribe in a positive way, you know, or, you know, I don't really want to, I don't think I'm old enough to sit up there or anything like that. I think we need somebody who's been through a lot here, you know, and, you know, knows our water issues, because I don't even know all that. So we need the elder people to be in there, but we also need our people in there to be able to listen to, you know, what the people want, because in the end, they're just supposed to sit up there, you know, and do what we tell them to, not the other way around.
So let's talk about sovereignty as we're staying on this subject. We want to talk about the issues of people who are in councils now. You know, I don't know if you know anything about the Kiowa people. We have sovereign issues that we have to worry about, trust lands, we have to worry about oil, minerals, things in our land. And we have members who define sovereignty in different ways. How do we combat some of these issues, would you say, to help us really start fixing the government issues that we have? Because sovereignty is key to being a real sovereign nation. We need to understand and define what it is, individually as tribes and collectively. What do you think?
I think we have to focus on morality first. You know, like I said, it's like if you give absolute power to somebody, they're bound to, you know, make the wrong decision with it. So I think we need to start working on ourselves morally, you know, because, you know, you got to think of the old way. A lot of us weren't educated and everything. And so I know a lot of people, they just kind of, you know, will give a job to, you know, somebody who's related to them. But if they look at things in the bigger picture, that they would be helping out the tribe more if they gave it to somebody who was educated and had new ideas and was willing to work and had everything else that the other person had, you know. And if they quit looking at themselves and just helping their little tiny people out, they could be helping more people. They could be helping the whole tribe out.
And that's the key. We need to figure out how to help each other out more besides just saying, hey, we know how to do it. We know how to do this. I know how to do it. And then get in there and do totally opposite of what we do. Does that happen? That doesn't happen. Never, right?
That happens all the time. I mean, I'm like one of the first guys. I'm one of the first guys. Hello?
Apparently the crowd liked that.
And I'll be the first ones to, give all of my positive attributes and all my negative ones. And I'll say, yeah, you know, I don't really use computers a lot. So if you guys were to show me your system and everything and what I need to work and everything, you know, or send me to training, you know, I'd be able to learn it, because that's what my education says. It says that I'm willing and able to learn. You know, I spent a lot of time going to school, you know, and it's kind of like a rite of passage for me. You know, I kind of grew up a lot. You know, I wasn't the most responsible guy, you know, in my 20s, but in my 30s, I've gone through major changes. So I'm like a completely different person. But, we do need to start looking at things, you know, we have to have, leaders that have, you know, our leaders now, they have sight, but they don't have vision. I think we need to have people, you know, who are willing to take chances, take risks, and do something different when it comes down to it.
So when you're saying take risks and doing things different, does that mean getting away from the culture of casinos are the only way? Because sovereign nations, I know, they use different means to make their economies grow. Look at other sovereign nations that we do. Well, and I'm saying we, I mean it's the United States of America. They do business with other sovereign nations, making trade deals, making business deals all the time. So as tribal sovereign nations, one of the things that we need to be able to understand and learn is what sovereignty is and why we have to learn how to govern ourselves correctly. And that's the key thing about tribal sovereignty. You know, there's so many that I've learned and I've talked to that have different views on what tribal sovereignty is, what it means they can do. But let me ask you this. Because I have sovereignty from my Kiowa tribe, does that mean I have rights outside of my lands?
If you have sovereignty in the Kiowa tribe?
Yeah. Can I go and have my same sovereign rights on the Paiute tribes? Or would I have to be bound by their sovereign laws?
You'd probably be bound to their sovereign law.
So we're only sovereign among our own areas.
Like me?
Yeah.
Well, as a tribal member, I'd be able to go, like, on a certain side of my lake. They call it the pyramid side, where our stone mother, part of our creation story is, and a pyramid, and but non-tribal members aren't allowed over there. But if it was for me, I would say that, you know, Native people would be allowed to be over there, because, you know, we need to start making those kind of treaties, if you will, with each other, you know, saying that, yeah, you know, you can come over here and enjoy, you know, certain things, you know, over here, like, whether it be just the lake, or if I wanted to go over there and, you know, let's say another tribe had, like, you know, a ski resort or something like that, you know, or hot springs or something, you know, like if I wanted to go over there and, you know, see if that helped my back out or whatever. But we should have that kind of respect, that mutual respect, because, you know, at one time or another, we did share all these things. We weren't all just kept in one, you know, in one spot. We ventured out to go see how other people lived and everything, and things along the way, and then brought them back to our other people.
Yeah. So We're going to take a little break here, Jackson. We're going to give you a little break, let you go. We're going to play a little music, and we're going to get back on this subject. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a little break. We're going to play a little soundbite, play a little powwow music, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
You can't handle the truth!
You got it right, this power? You got it right, Super?
But you might want to see this.
Shut the hell up!
Native guy. We thank you for joining us on the blogtalkradio.com radio lane. We are going to get back into our program. We've been talking with Bear, and he is joining us from the Paiute Lake Tribal Nation there in Nevada. And we have another caller on the line. He looks like he's calling in from Oklahoma. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hyundai Dob, Abi.
Oh, Bobby Lee, we welcome you to the Native Broadcast Network. You're joining Bear on the line with us, and we've been discussing tribal sovereignty. Bear, before we bring you back onto the air, let's get Lee's take on what tribal sovereignty means. Lee, what does tribal sovereignty mean to you and the Kiowa people?
Well, tribal sovereignty, you know, in general, you know, it refers to tribes' right to govern themselves, so to speak, you know. It defines their own membership, managed tribal properties, you know, on trust land, you know. For therefore, you know, we are set to regulate tribal businesses and any domestic relations that surround us, you know. And therefore, you know, what is said about tribal sovereignty, you know, is pretty much, you know, we're, you know, we're governing our own people, Hall. You know, like I said, you know, but here's the thing. Here's the kicker that, you know, it's like we're sovereign, as it seems as though that the BIA, you know, determines, you know, that we're sovereign, you know. So
yeah.
Therefore, you know, I mean, there's quite the misconception, you know, of sovereign, you know, so to speak, you know, but as we, as tribal members, you know, I mean, this sovereignty is supposed to unite, you know, all of us together and, you know, go about our business as, you know, operate it, you know. So therefore, you know, we further recognize the existence of, you know, our own, you know, governed relationship, you know, between, and we have, we also recognize, you know, government-to-government, you know, relationship, you know, between tribes and the U.S. federal government, you know. But, you know, tribal sovereignty, you know, from the inner perspective is, you know, we are united amongst ourselves and we, you know, set our own agenda, you know, so to speak.
So, Barrett, did you get that? Do we set our own agenda, do you think, as tribal sovereign nations?
I think we try to. But I agree with it, with everything that he said. You know, like, we are supposed to be doing our own business, but the BIA is right there for us to ask them. You know, hey, can I do this? Let me send it up the ladder and see if it's going to make the United States money or make them lose money. Then they call us back, mm-hmm. like, you know, 10 years later. Okay, you guys can do that now. It's in our best interest. At that time, it was in your best interest, but since it's in our best interest now, go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's not sovereign. That's, you know, that's, it's just the way that it's the way that they relate to us too, as a ward to a child is like it's in legal books and stuff that describes
it is.
Sovereignty and our domestic dependence status.
Mm-hmm. That's where the misconception lies in, you know. I mean, how can we be sovereign if, you know, I mean, who is to determine, you know, our sovereignty? You know, is it us or is it the BIA or, you know, the BIA or is it, you know, the creator? I mean, who is to determine exactly or specifically, or is it all the above?
That's a good question.
I think it's up to the people. But like I said before, is that I think we need to be moral about it. You know, if you're going to step up and be sovereign, you can't just do whatever you want and rip people off and stuff like that. Because I know that happens in a lot of tribal nations. You know,
and that's
the
key.
We have to start looking at ourselves, and if we are sovereign enough, and you know, if we are, you know, going to be able to govern ourselves, you know, because I don't trust. I mean, it's happening right now. I mean, we have more sovereignty than a lot of tribes out there. We don't have a treaty with the United States. Like I said before, that treaties take away from sovereignty, and they just leave you with a few inherent rights. But we never signed anything. So it's like all this BLM land that's around us, should it go to us? Because we never signed a treaty. We never ceded any land. You know, we just agreed to this being our reservation to govern. But really, those lands belong to us. And us being sovereign, we can say that we didn't sign anything. And plus, you guys have treaties with these other tribes saying, you know, the Fort Laramie Treaty, for example, says that any, you know, government land that's not being used by the government reverts back to Indian nations. And if you look at that now, there's been a lot of federal land grabs going on because they don't want it to go to the Indians.
Huh. Lee, do you have any comment on that?
The thing is, Okay, now we as a nation, you know, I mean, I'm speaking for you know, my tribe, you know, our tribe, you know, so to speak, is Kiowa. Yeah, and like I said, we had our own, you know, form of government, you know, before the BIA government ever intervened, you know. So and we had, you know, did not require, you know, approval of anything from them. Now in these modern times, it seems that as though ever since, you know, treaty's been signed and now we have to be granted, you know, I mean, permission if, you know, we could do, you know, certain things, you know, that we desire, you know. But the thing is, you know, with that being said, you know, it makes, you know, a bit complicated, you know, complicates things of, you know, how we're, what is determined, you know, as sovereign, you know. But I know that we still acknowledge our old traditional ways, you know. So, and we keep that, you know, within ourselves. And like I said, if we have to, you know, be modernized, you know, into, you know, these modern times, you know, and abide by treaties, which they don't, you know, necessarily abide by, you know, anyway, and they tend to alterate, you know, they alternate, you know, things to where, you know, it complicates things even further, you know, of how to define being sovereign, you know.
And I guess that's one of the things that we have to figure out as tribes today, Bear and Lee. Would we have to figure out what tribal sovereignty really means? Because, mm-hmm. again, you use, Bear, you use the word wards, and that is in a lot of legal books. So does a ward of the state or something, does that really define that as a sovereign nation? And give us some examples of tribes of how they're actually using their sovereign status, if you have any. Who wants to go first?
No, I just want to say that what Lee just said, like, completely answered all my questions, is I think we do need to revert back to our traditional ways, our values and everything, and that will make us moral, because we'll have the best interest of the tribe, you know, when we're making decisions. We'll be moral again. You know, and we'll think about other people rather than just ourselves. But, yeah, I just wanted to acknowledge Lee that I agree with him right there.
Yeah, that's a great statement.
You know, the thing is, we can always acknowledge, you know, ourselves being sovereign, you know. I mean, we pretty much, you know, set our own boundaries. But, you know, of course, you know, in many instances, we have to, you know, gain approval, you know, from the outside, you know, of our realm, you know. But then, you know, afterward, you know, I think regardless, you know, approval or not, you know, I mean, we can be sovereign as well as we acknowledge each other's existence, and we always, you know, keep in touch, you know, with each other, and always look out for each other's well-being, you know, so to speak, you know.
Jack, did you get anything on that one?
Nope.
Weecha! And those are some good statements that we're bringing out. You know, Lee, you're bringing out points about things that we have to look at, because we're at a point of time where we're understanding what happened to us in history even better. Wouldn't you agree?
Paul? I would
so
agree.
How,
you know,
Go ahead.
I would agree because, you know, like I said, we take knowledge, you know, of the things that, you know, we do in everyday life, you know. We acknowledge, you know, the well-being of our people. This is how, you know, in many instances, how it should be, you know. or how the creator would have it, based on our old traditional, you know, customs, you know. But like I said, we sovereign, you know, to be sovereign, you know, to be defined, you know, in various ways, you know. I said, you know, one may see it as sovereign, while, you know, another, you know, may see it as, you know, not being sovereign, you know. I mean, see it as, you know, something else, you know, or sometimes you could see it as unidentified, you know. But like I said, you know, coming together as, you know, being integrated, you know, with one another, you know, is one component, you know, one element of sovereignty itself. And that's only a part of it, you know. I mean, it goes well beyond, you know, what we have learned, what we have acknowledged, you know, and some of it, you know, we're still learning as of today, and yet we always will, you know.
Exactly. So let me ask you, do you know of any examples of tribes who are showing their sovereign status and what they're doing? Because I know there's quite a few tribes who are actually doing really well with their sovereign status. I can think of a tribe up in Michigan, I believe. They're doing really well. Tribes in Oklahoma, the civilized tribes, they're showing more sovereign status through some of their economic developments. And isn't that the goal for all tribes and their sovereignty?
I would think that is a goal, you know. I noticed that the Seminoles in Florida, you know, I mean, with their economic status, you know, I mean, they're pretty, you know, set, you know, they're pretty well off, you know, at this, you know, at these modern times, you know. I mean, when you build off a foundation, you know, and then you grow from there, you know, that could be, you know, another part of being sovereign, you know, because therefore you had established, you know, your you had established your credentials together, you know. I mean,
yeah.
It took more than one person to do it, obviously, you know. So, like I said, you know, there exist tribes who are sovereign, you know, in their own eyes and possibly others' eyes, you know. But the meaning of such, you know, the in-depth interpretation of being sovereign, you know, it relies on, you know, I mean, the nature of the people itself, you know.
Exactly.
So, I'm
Bear, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's great when I see tribes doing well for themselves, you know, and I notice that when they do start going like the smart tribes, instead of just giving per capita right away, they start investing in their infrastructure. They start sending their people to school, you know, getting them better health care, you know, to making sure that their people have more opportunities to keep it growing and keep it moving, you know, in that right direction. But yeah, I think it's great to see other tribes doing things like that and thinking outside of the box, rather than living like a domestic dependent nation. You know, those nations that have to rely on, you know, commodities to eat, you know, they're still out there, you know, and we got to look out for them too, you know, to make sure, push sure they get better food, you know.
Well, the thing is, you got to be, I mean, I would think that, you know, you have to be well functioned, you know, and when you're, before all that, you know, you have to develop, you know, a plan to do so, you know, and like I said, you know, it takes, you know, more than one, it takes many, actually, you know. I mean, these are all the small parts, you know, of the overall. And like I said, you could develop, you know, I mean, thoughtful ways to elaborate from what was, you know, and that's, you know, these are the things that can be the key points of sovereignty itself.
Huh, that's a good point. So we're going to go into our final few minutes here. Let's get into what do you think, on your opinion or views, are ways to help tribes better understand what it means to be a sovereign nation inside of another nation. Who wants to go first?
Lee can go first, because I'll just piggyback off of him. He comes up with a better idea.
Well, I'll try, at least, you know. Well, here's the thing. Well, you know, first of all, I would say that, you know, communicating with one another effectively would be a start. You know, like I said, you know, actually communicate, you know, however you do it, and keep in, maintain, you know, the effective communication at all possible, you know, at any given time, really, you know. And we think these things through, you know, I mean, beforehand. And like I said, to make improvements on oneself, you know, you always have to have a willingness to learn, you know. And like I said, those who don't know, I mean, I would advise them to get to know, you know. I mean, that's where the sick learn, you know, comes in, you know. Like I said, being sovereign will be the ultimate outcome, you know, of, you know, based upon thoughts and action, you know. But it starts out, you know, one of the initial key points is, you know, just, you know, communicate with one another effectively, and like I said, have goals, you know, have goals set in place, you know. And like I said, when things, you know, actually work effectively to be proven to work, then, you know, it's possible that you even hinted on sovereignty, you know. Like you possibly define, you know, a piece of it, at least. Paul.
Bear, you got anything?
Yeah. Communication goes hand in hand with transparency into your tribal government, you know, your tribal councils. They need to let us know everything that they're doing, because they don't answer to the BIA. You know, they answer to the people. You know, the people are the people, you know, we're the ones who get them into office to, you know, make decisions for us that are in our best interests, and let us know, you know, what they're going to do, because it could influence anything that we do, you know, whether it's, you know, allowing a mining project on our land, you know, selling our water rights or giving them away, or, you know, like having, you know, even selling land or timber leases or anything like that. If it doesn't affect the whole tribe, you know, if it doesn't affect the whole tribe in a positive manner, then don't do it. You know, it's not going to be so transparency, communication, you know, that's what we need, you know, to start doing with ourselves, you know, rather than being afraid of each other and, you know, wondering what they're doing, you know, just say hi to your neighbor and, you know, maybe you can help him or vice versa.
Awesome.
You know,
ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have to cut you off, Lee. We're going to get you back on another time next week, same time. We're going to do another subject like tribal sovereignty. We might even go to treaties. So, Bear, get your research done. We're going to talk about treaties. Lee,
All right. We're
going to talk about treaties next week.
All day talk.
Same Bear time, same Bear place. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining in. Bear, Lee, we appreciate you, and enjoy the rest of the week.
Always a pleasure.
When 900 years old you reach, look as good you will not. Hmm?